sense of freedom.
It's a core joke.
Yeah! Whoa. Gratitude speaks when I care and when I share with others. First of all, my name is Takoy, and I'm definitely a recovering addict, and I'm from the D.C. area. Also, I would like to thank CPR CNA 32 for allowing an addict like me to have this awesome experience to speak at a workshop in one of our biggest forefronts of Narcotics Anonymous, the convention. That's big. That's big for me. You know, and my clean date is May 26, 2005. Before I act like me, that's a lot of time. Because, you know, I heard a lot of people in the front row when Cedric got up here and was talking about we do recover, right? But at the end of the road, it's in the chapter, we do recover.
Okay.
So, you know, and I'm grateful that I have this title to talk about when at the end of the road, because I had a many end of the road. Had many a end of the roads, you know, and in our chapter, it talks about how the compulsion of having started to use and how you just cannot stop. The obsession and the compulsion to use no matter what. Right? And I come from an area of brokenness, dysfunction in the family. Father sexually molested me as a young child. I had the 36-24 shape as a teenager, as a 13, 12-year-old little girl. However, things happened to me at a young age. And I blamed myself for so long. Locked and loaded. Shame and guilt. Not understanding the confusion of why me. An only child, right? So I came from a place of brokenness. And come to find out that me using a substance was me barricading the feelings and emotions that I could not identify as a little girl. Because in my household, couldn't talk about certain things. Children needed to be in a child's place. You better not say too many words when I'm telling you to do something, you just need to do it. Right? And if you don't do it, the extension cord come in play, the switches, the getting put in a tub of wet water and getting beat with a leather belt, the writing the dictionary from A to Z, all that. You know, However, because I'm learning this new way of life, I've done some work and I've understood that the household I came up in did the best they could. So I had to let them off the hook. Because I held that for over 20-something years of my life. Because I couldn't talk about what happened. So I went and used. Right? Couldn't talk about it. When I finally did decide to talk about it in junior high, I was lying. What type of feelings are those that I feel when you have people who are your family and they don't believe you? Right? I'm talking about the feelings and emotions. When at the end of the road, you all, you know, and, you know, telling it to my family members and them not believing me, I went to look for love in all the wrong places. Time and time and time again. over and over and over, looking for something to fill the void that was in my soul from a child. Right? So when we're talking about when at the end of the road, I had a many end of the roads. You know, I remember ripping and running on 14th Street. I remember that. I remember in abandoned miniums. I remember sleeping in cars with other people and the smells was not correct, but I slept in them anyway. You know, I remember the jumping in and out of cars. I remember going to the park on 14th and Fairmont, smoking crack and saying, God help me. I remember that. I was saying a prayer and not realizing that I was praying at the time. I wanted out and I didn't know how to get out. I wanted a way out. But my cycle was to sell some drugs, break out in handcuffs, go to 1901, Kentucky, Jessup, Texas, just all around the world at their expense. And then after I get there, I realize, damn, here I go again. Right? And I kept that vicious cycle going for so long that it became a way of life for me. You know, and I wanted just to read this out of We Do Recover Family. And I know y'all not here to hear me read the literature, but it's going to make sense in a minute. Although politics makes strange bedfellows, as the old saying goes, addiction makes us one of a kind. Our personal story may vary in individual pattern, but in the end, we all have the same thing in common. This common illness or disorder is addiction. We know well the two things that make up true addiction is obsession and compulsion. Obsession, that fixed idea that takes us back time and time again to our particular drug or substitute to recapture the ease and comforts we once knew. So after I got here, after doing 7 years in a Bureau of Prison, right, I wasn't sure. I just was not sure. But my spirit knew that I needed to find a way out. I couldn't do it no more. I said I was done. And I had a lot of questions. I wanted to know why I needed to go to meetings all day long. I wanted to know all that, but I had no clue. Right? But I did it. I did it. In spite of what my mind was saying, I knew I needed to do what these people told me to do. So I did it, and I came in here with amongst people just like me. Right? Didn't know it made any sense. It didn't make any sense at the time when I came in the room. It didn't. Even though I knew about the rooms back in the 80s at the Cadoza Club, I knew about them. But it was too much happening on 14th Street. You know what I mean? So I had to come in here and I had to allow you people to help me change my belief system. I had to learn how to drop the rock that a lot of times I want to pick it right back up. We're talking about obsession and compulsion when at the end of the road, right? And I allowed you all to guide me. And today, I still deal with obsession and compulsion. You know, on a good day, if I'm not spiritually grounded, mentally, I'm off to the races, man. You know, and I think back to all that I went through prior to getting here, the self-destruction to self, how I had damaged myself mentally as well as physically to where today it's a struggle for me to keep my sane thought thought pattern going. Because sometimes I want to check out. I'm just being honest. Sometimes I want to be like, okay. All right. I don't see a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But I beg the difference. Because I came in here and I allowed you all to embrace me and I embraced you all. And I'm learning each and every day how to continue to work and change my belief system, people. You know, wow. I'm just looking around the room and there's a many of people in here and I appreciate it. I appreciate DC area for their support and believing in me when I can't even believe in myself sometimes. You know, it speaks volumes. But I want to go back to the end of the road because I remember 14th Street clearly. I remember W Street clearly. I remember being with the dude who had all the product. I remember him playing Russian roulette with me to get the next one because he had it like that. And I thought that I was the ride or die chick because I'm with this kingpin and I got it going on. I remember the pistol whip. I remember being thrown down a fire exit in Clifton Terrace and being kicked with Timberland boots. I remember all the stuff that I allowed to Koi to go through. I did it because one was too many, a thousand was never enough. And I needed the next one. I remember in the 80s when I first started this using being pregnant with my sons, and it's only through God's grace and mercy that they're good, mentally and physically. I remember, I remember the pain of being at the end of the road. I remember that pain. God only knows that I don't ever want to live like that again. So mentally, Tekoi have to be careful on this road to recovery. Because I sometimes mentally want to check out. And I understand the nature of my disease that tells me I'm unworthy, nobody loves you unconditionally. It's something attached to that. You can't have the husband. You can't have the house. You can't have the good job. You know, you're not worthy of all these things that was afforded to me through Narcotics Anonymous. Right? Because at the end of the road, man, it was rough. It was rough. When I came out that penal system, I'm telling you all, after doing 7.5 years, and I know some people have done much more time than that, but that was a lot to me. I don't give a damn. That is a lot to me because I was like a revolving door with the penal system. It was 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 6 months, 18 months. And when they said 18 months, I was like, okay. But when I got them 5 different charges, and they started calling them numbers off, I was standing there looking like, what the hell? And when I got where I needed to get and calculated it, I was like, oh, hell no. I didn't think I could do it. And I thought it was a curse. Yeah, you hear me? I thought it was a curse. It turned out to be a blessing. It was a blessing because God already knew my second and third step. He already knew what I needed to get here with a people, with amongst a group of people that were just like me, messed up mentally physically and spiritually. He knew. He knew I was bankrupt. He knew I wanted a way out. So he guided me where I needed to go. But he knew the only way he could do it was to contain me. Because I told y'all I was a thug, so I thought. Now I can rap, I ain't gonna lie. But in my mind, I was a legend. Fourteenth Street was mine. Yeah. So, you know, today I try to stay away from that thinking. Because the obsession and compulsion go hand in hand. And if I'm not careful with keeping myself spiritually grounded on a good day, I'm back at the end of the road, people, clean. I'm back at the end of the road, clean, locked and loaded, and can't get out. But don't nobody hear me, and can't nobody see me. Because I'm high. You feel me? So I have to continue to allow people to help me each and every day with my belief system, man. Because it can't be no worse than it was when I was out there getting beat down by the dope boys. I was getting beat down by the dude who I called my man. I was getting beat down by cars, dude, tricks that I was jumping in the car with. They was kicking me out. One of them pulled a pistol out on me. One of them kidnapped me, took me all the way to New York, and I didn't know what was going to happen. When at the end of the road. I'm telling you, people. When at the end of the road, we can no longer find. And then it goes on to say, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? I've been to jail, I've been to institutions, and I've been close to death. So today, I choose to live. I choose to live by any means necessary. So I keep going. I stay out my way. When I think incorrectly, I tell people that I'm not thinking correctly. I used to didn't do that. I would look at you like you're crazy, like you did something to me and what. So, you know, it's been going on 13 years. And I'm learning that people who need people are the luckiest people in the world. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful to Narcotics Anonymous and the people who come into my life. And we ain't got to kick it every day, you all. I love you unconditionally with no strings attached. So I'm going to keep coming back, and thanks for letting me share.